Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast by Opus Partners. I'm your host, Ian McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicol.
And to our show, we are joined by property investor Ilse Wolf from Opus Accelerate. And Ilse, we are talking about the fifth step in the cash flow hacking system today, which is painting. How do you paint your house the right way? No, it's not just dip your paintbrush into the pottle of paint and slap it on the wall. Why are you giving me that look,
Andrew? Just because you've got no idea, do you?
I know how to paint.
Do you know, actually, just to digress for a second there, Elsa, you can tell us what your opinion is on this. I was saying to Ed the other day when we were at the NZPIF conference that maybe I'll buy a house or two houses side by side, two units, and Ed and I will have David film us for a month while we do the renovations ourselves and see how it goes. So start us off, Ilse. What does it actually cost to paint a house?
It's not as simple as you might think. There are probably three separate rankings of cost of painting a house professionally. So the very first choice you have to make is, am I going to invest that sweat equity, and is it first of all an option for me to do it myself, DIY? If not, and if you're remote and you're going with a professional, I would say there are three different price brackets, okay? So as far as the cash flow hacking job is concerned, a full professional paint job for an existing house that needs the full prep, the full paint job, you're looking up to around $15,000 for a full interior paint. And that's the works. So that would be ceilings, walls, you know, pulling off any potential old paper that's not adhering anymore. And then also fully upgrading for a fresh look that includes old windows for those to be repainted and doors and trims as well. So getting right into the gritty detail there. One step down from that would be just cutting back to the most high impact surfaces, that would be your ceilings and walls. They create the biggest impact. And I would say that those are fundamental. Now, we're all about hacking the hacks at the moment because of the cost of labor and building supplies is massively increasing, as everyone knows. So if you are fortunate enough to come across a house that is relatively okay in terms of paint color, you're not looking at a blue room, a green room, and a pink room, you might get away with a color matched top coat of the ceilings and walls. So that, I would say, is the biggest professional paint hack possible. You're probably able to get somewhere between $3,000 and $5,000 for the interior paint, ignoring the tiny details of windows, but just refreshing a good color that is already there. So a neutral or a white or a light gray.
Okay, so if your colors are good and your finishing's okay, you can probably get it tidied up for between $3,000 and $5,000. But if you've got to go full noise, it's $15,000.
Exactly.
And actually it can be up to $20,000, Ilse. Walk us through when it could even be that much.
If you have some serious deferred maintenance on an older house, you know, you might come across a house where the wallpaper has three or four layers, right back to the original paper, you know, horrific, embossed, has some kind of pearlescent kind of flavor to it, where you can't immediately paint over or restore what is there. If you have more work in the prep, you could be definitely north of that $15,000. Up to $20,000 is not unseen. Basically, what can be missed is that there's a lot of prep. And even though the job is called painting, I would honestly say 80% of that is in the prep. The prep is what determines the outcome.
Well, that's a good time to transition there. So let's say that I've decided foolishly, and I say foolishly on my part if I was to do it myself, I've decided to paint the interior of a property I've just bought myself. What do I need to do before I pull out my paintbrush?
The first thing is you need to understand your budget for the renovation. So DIY painting can be as little as around $1,000 for the paint materials, the brushes, the roller, the tray, etc., and some protective gear. It's not expensive, but it comes down to the quality of finish that is what really makes the difference between your finish and a professional finish. Second to the budget is you need to do the research. Painting is more technical than most renovators expect. It's not as simple as getting three lots of 10-litre pails of paint and jumping on the paintbrush. You need to know the type of paint that must go on each individual surface. So one type of paint that goes on trims and doors is definitely not the same as your ceiling paint. They're made for different levels of knocks and for different uses. So don't shortcut that. The best thing you can do is ask a few questions in a retail store from a professional paint expert in store.
And actually, I think I saw in the NZPIF email out at the weekend that a landlord just got fined $4,000 for using exterior paint on the interior of a property. Did you read that?
Yeah, because what happened was the tenant had some sort of skin condition, sensitive skin, and it ended up impacting her skin. And so they got fined quite a hefty amount. But walk us through as well, Ilse, if you want to prep a surface before you paint, what sort of things do you need to look out for?
So when you're first reviewing a potential property, if it is an existing property, you need to check out the condition of the details you intend to upgrade. So if we just talk about the walls for a second, you may find that there are layers of wallpaper. You might find that there's old lead paint or really old oil-based paint. And if a professional painter or you come in and decide you're going to buy a specific type of paint and just go over it, you can't assume that it will adhere. You can't assume that it will go on top of the surface that is already there. So prepping often involves stripping back the uneven surfaces, which could be wallpaper. Also, when you do that, what you end up with is really bumpy old jib. So the second part of that is actually that jib stopping and skimming existing surfaces is definitely required to smooth out that wall. And more often than not, you will need a professional for that because plastering and jib stopping in itself is its own skill. Every imperfection will show up in a paint job, so if you plan to do it yourself, you need to invest time and money and understand how to get the prep right. I would say it's probably one of the most difficult tasks of the renovation process, but people probably generally underestimate it.
Yeah, I can account from that. And so tell me, how much will it increase the value to a house if I do it?
I think in this market, you should be expecting to get about a $2 return for that $1. So doubling off that expenditure. I know sometimes in the past we talk about three times, but because markets are softening at the moment, you wouldn't want to assume.
Cool. So if I spend $15,000, it should increase my value by 30.
Exactly.
And another question that's important to ask is, how long is it going to take to paint the walls? Because obviously you've got to wait for it to dry and all of this sort of stuff. And, you know, usually your cash flow hacking renovation might only be 6 weeks or so. So how much of that 6 or 8 weeks is going to be taken up with painting?
This is the step that has the biggest impact, but because it needs to have a great result, it often can take up to half of that total time frame. But again, I'm not just talking paint, I'm talking the prep and the painting. And you've also touched on being able to dry, seasonality. In winter, spring right now, it's a very rainy season. It takes more time between each coat of paint to dry. But even before we get to that, the jib stopping, which is often ignored or forgotten, the jib stopping and the skimming can take 3 or 4 days. Then once you prime and get into the painting, you should assume about 2 to 2.5 weeks to give your painter a decent amount of time.
And just for anybody who's perhaps new to property, what does jib stopping mean?
Jib stopping is when you put up new jib. So say, for example, when we're cash flow hacking, we're converting the classic dining room into an additional bedroom. You're going to have newly framed up walls. The linings on the walls that then get painted, they first need to be jib stopped. The stopping is when you smooth over the joins with plaster and jib tape so that you see one continuous wall rather than have vertical stretches of raw wall, basically. So often if you walked into a partially renovated house, you might see strips of jib and you might see white dots and lines of white. That is the jib stopped wall. And then from there you can paint.
Cool. So answer the age-old question, and I know this is a debate in the Nickel House, matte or gloss paint, which is better?
Depends if you're going for fashion or durability, Andrew. Yeah, so matte is very, very much on trend. If you walk into a new build, you'll most likely see matte white and often a black-white colour. Black-white is, oddly, the whitest white and really popular in a new build. So matte will be really appealing and it looks really fashionable and it looks great when it's first completed. However, if you're looking to have a tenanted property, think about the type of tenant who will be in there. That is most important when you're cash flow hacking. So say, for example, you have a student house in Dunedin, you're going to have a different group of ruckus 6 or 7 people in that house every year. A satin or low sheen finish type of paint is going to endure multiple lots of high use rather than a matte, which is very difficult to wipe or clean without sort of compromising the effect. With a matte paint, you will really see if someone has crudely wiped over it, it will look different in that patch, and you actually might even remove some of that paint in the process. So durability, low sheen or satin is definitely preferable for a rental over the fashionable matte.
So is it fair to say that if you're planning to rent to, say, a family who might have young kids, you might decide to go for the glossy paint as opposed to the matte, because what happens if one of the kids throws something at a wall or decides to draw on it with a crayon?
Yeah, gloss is probably the other extreme, but you're probably going for like a low sheen that the parent can wipe down, exactly.
And take us to the other age-old question, paintbrush versus a roll versus spray paint, which is better?
roll painting, if you're DIY or professional, either way, whichever way you go, a roll finish is much easier to maintain. And if you are going to have to maintain between different tenant rollovers, rolling is much easier to either do yourself or have someone come along and have a similar finish on those patches. By contrast, a spray painting is very, very fast and popular with professionals. But keep in mind that if you have patchy areas that you're trying to maintain after a tenancy, you are going to end up with walls that do look patchy because the finish will be different. And when the sunlight hits it, it will look different. So, and again, another hack that's really great, and we've had awesome feedback from our investors, is to have two people sort of tag team in that paint job. The first one to spray paint the paint job, go along the wall, someone with a roller to follow and roll the second coat over the top. And that means that when you come to maintain the next year or next couple of years, it's easy to get out a roller and not mix up the wall finish.
And so as part of the cash flow hacking steps, we always point out that the inside is where you want to focus first and don't worry about the exterior as much. Why is the inside more important, Elsa?
It's the collective impact of following those six steps that will create that value uplift on the interior. The interior versus the exterior is definitely more important from the eyes of your future tenant and creating that tenant appeal, and also creating almost a compounded bang for buck of all of those principles on the interior. Definitely advised to look at weather tightness and maintenance on the exterior as well. But what we're seeing is that an interior renovation or cash flow hack for the full works, you know, six principles, can be up to $60,000, $65,000 at the moment. If you're adding a cabin, that's on top. If you're adding an exterior paint job, that's even more. So it comes down to budget and what's important.
And last question is, what are some of the biggest mistakes people make when painting?
Quick three tips that we're seeing as mistakes out in the market. And one of those is not getting a written estimate or quote. So when you're talking back and forth and negotiating with the painter, if it's a professional, just make sure that you're talking the same scope and the same language. So don't make assumptions, and it is very easy to do that if you're just talking on the phone or text. Ask for that written consent. The other aspect of that is a first-time investor or renovator might be talking on the phone with a painter and come up with an agreed price. Be mindful that painter is most likely talking excluding GST. If you're an investor thinking that means including, then you're going to get a 15% surprise when the invoice turns up. That's number one. So also number two, we've sort of touched on, but not realizing how much prep in terms of cost and time is required. So factor in the additional prep time when you're speaking with a gibstopper or professional plasterer, how long they need to get the prep sorted before paint, especially if the painter and the plasterer or gibstopper are two different people. And also factor in the cost of that. So if an entire existing build on the interior needs a skim to refresh the inside for the paint job, assume somewhere between $3,000 and $5,000. Actually, those are the biggest two. Those are the most important two.
And actually, just on the estimate and quote side of things, so a quote is fixed price. Estimate, how much of a variance can you expect with that?
Yeah, with the estimate, it will come down to the scope, and often we see that the scope can change once you move into the house to renovate on day one, once all the tenant's old furniture is removed. So an estimate will be most likely based on what the painter has been able to see at the site visit. Depending on how they provide that estimate, some suppliers will say, look, we have a 10% margin. If the works and the costs come less than, we will only charge you for that. But just understand how the estimate works with each supplier, because you might still see there's a 10% uplift if they find the job is more intense, but you do want assurance around the cap for your own budgeting.
Right, let's wrap it up there, but please don't forget to rate, review and subscribe to the Property Academy podcast. Really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, if you want to join Ilse's coaching program, really simple way, tap or swipe over the cover art. I'll drop a link in there to where you can read about her service, or just Google Opus Accelerate. Listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight.
I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And we're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.